Hi, this is Dr. Christopher Perrin, and welcome to this episode of The Christopher Perrin Show. In this episode, I'm going to continue to describe some of the key pedagogical principles that come down to us from the classical tradition. I've discussed festina lente, make hay slowly, and multum non multa, much, not many, about going deep with students, festina lente about making haste slowly. And this particular principle is about revisiting and reviewing the things that are really important for student learning and mastery. Repetitio mater memoriae in Latin means repetition is the mother of memory. You can also read articles on my Substack at christopherperrin.substack.com that also, in printed form, cover these same principles. You can also see some lectures that I've given on classicalu.com on the same topics. Repetition is the mother of memory. Engaging review will make learning last. So in past presentations, I noted that the principles festina lente and multum non multa are closely related. They're like sisters. If these two sisters have a mother, it would have to be memory, memoriae. Or in Greek mythology, memory is mnemosyne. It's the mother, mnemosyne is the mother of the nine daughters that were called the muses. Do you remember the nine muses? These muses include a muse for history, poetry, singing, dancing. There was even a muse for astronomy. And as the myth indicates, memory gives birth to many important musical arts. And that word musa, or musa in Greek, it means that one who inspires, a muse. We have the word bemused, and we also have the word amuse, or amusement, which means to be without inspiration. In fact, one of the words that Plato used for the education of young children was musical education, musia. And to be without inspiration was, well, amusia, to be without the benefit of the inspiration that the muses brought. So memory is the mother of these muses. Memory is so important that without a good, well-furnished memory, it's virtually impossible to make good progress in the study of the other arts. Well, we know this, but do we really know it well enough? The Latin maxim, repetitio mater memoriae, indicates that even memory has the mother, which is repetition. Repetition is the mother of memory, and memory is the mother of the nine muses. Repetition gives birth to memory. Memory gives birth to the arts. At the very least, we can say that memory is indispensable for the ongoing learning, that which makes further learning not only possible, but propagates it. The ancients and the medievals clearly valued memory more than we do, and they were able to cultivate memory far more deeply and extensively than we. There are a few reasons for this, of course. The ancients, before the invention of the printing press, say, in 1450, did not have access to cheap books. Books were expensive, very expensive, as they had to be copied out by hand on perishable material like papyrus or vellum, and vellum, which was made from the hide of animals, was very expensive. As a result, it was important to memorize passages from books that one could only borrow or heard read aloud. Second, there were many cultural practices that naturally encouraged memory, such as oratory, storytelling, and liturgy. It was common, for example, for Benedictine monks in a monastery to memorize the entire book of the Psalms within about 2 years, simply by singing through the entire Psalter every week in worship or liturgy. Third, another reason why the ancients and the medievals were better at memory than we is that there was far less to distract ancient students and medieval students compared to the students in our contemporary culture. Memory was one of the five rules of rhetoric. No one could be considered a trained speaker without having cultivated the capacity to memorize. And great orators would have memorized many, many commonplaces, stories and anecdotes and poems and passages from literature that could be woven in even spontaneously into any speech or argument that they chose to make. Today, modern educators often downplay the role of memory, arguing that we can instantly, after all, look up any factual information on our smartphones. It turns out, however, that our smartphones also distract us incessantly, impeding our ability to think, contemplate, and attend to matters that require careful thought and reflection. Modern educators also deride the work of memory as tedious drudgery. Sometimes they do. A lot of the time, they do. And they think that it kills the love of learning, and they sometimes characterize memory work and recitation as drill and kill pedagogy. Well, it is true that repetition, review, and recitation can be turned into a dreary exercise that fails to cultivate wonder, love, and attention in our students. So let's just acknowledge that. Any good principle or practice can be corrupted, can be distorted, can be misapplied, and that's true of this maxim as well. Yes, there is such a thing as drill and kill. In other words, an inappropriate, poor use of recitation. But let us consider what repetition as a principle really is and can be. It's not mere repetition for repetition's sake. It's not teaching the same thing the same way over and over. It's not forcing students to do what's unpleasant and irrelevant to their lives because we believe it's good for them. Kind of like eating broccoli or taking medicine. Just recite it again, you'll thank me someday. No. At its core, repetition is a search for what one previously found and loved. It's like kissing the photo of a beloved person in your life. Come back again and again to reflect and remember someone you love. The Latin word literally means, repetitio, literally means a seeking again. Can you hear the word petition in there? It's from Latin petere, which means to seek. So repetere or repetitio means to seek after something again, to seek it again. I found it once, I want to found it one more time. I visited there once, I want to go back. I want to go back to Italy. I want to go back to that town called Orvieto. I want to go back to that coffee shop called Montanucci's. Why do we read the Psalms over and over, or a great poem like Hopkins' poem, God's Grandeur? For that matter, why do we return to the same vacation spot and revisit certain restaurants like Montanucci's, or rewatch favorite movies? We are seeking the same thing because there is something good achieved by returning, and that good is the deeper appreciation or possession of something beloved. Ideally, that's the kind of memory that we seek. Consider how children demand, sometimes daily, sometimes immediately, to have some book read to them. Do you remember this with your children? Maybe you have children right now who do this. Read it again, Daddy. Read it again, Mommy. Do they not want to possess the story that they love? Sometimes immediately after hearing the story read, do they not want to return to some delightful place the book conjures up for them? Note as well how easily younger students up to about age 12 memorize. Their ability to memorize is amazing. Three times through a short poem or a book, and a young child can often recite large passages verbatim. This is the time when children are young, say up to about age 12, to place treasure in their archive when it is so easily stored there. Doesn't mean that we stop repeating and reviewing and revisiting when a child gets older than 12. No, it just means that up to about 12, they are particularly well-suited to learning things by repetition and even memorizing things by repetition. I think it's a pedagogy that should continue throughout life, but boy, is it important to do it in those early years. So there are many ways to seek to learn again. We need not reteach the same ideas or facts or lessons in exactly the same way. We can review an idea from a new vantage point. We can make new applications and connections. With each new search or view, new things should emerge or be illuminated, just as happens when we reread poetry and literature or novels, or when we return to a favorite vacation spot, enjoying what we already knew was there, but learning more things as well, and more deeply appreciating a place, a book, a piece of music, art. or an idea. A good teacher with experience learns to engage her students in regular review that delights students who instinctively want to return to the good things they've encountered, whether skills, facts, or ideas. This good teacher will learn to calibrate and blend review with new content, new study, in a kind of spiral of study that deepens learning even as students climb upwards. They go deep and they go up at the same time. I trust that you see the relationship now, especially if you heard the other podcast, the relation between festi lente, make hay slowly, multum non multa, much not many, going deep, and repetitio mater memoriae. Students should proceed slowly, festi lente, mastering each good thing in a proper order, and they should study a curated best selection of good things, that's multum non multa, passing over the superfluous, even when the superfluous are good in their own right. And they should return to the study of those good things regularly, repetitio mater memoriae, until they become their permanent possession and treasure. I hope this has been helpful to you, and I remind you again that you can read about these principles as well at christopherperrin.substack.com. Thanks once again for either viewing or reading. I appreciate it.
I'd like to thank you for watching or listening to the Christopher Perrin Show. And to do that, I can give you a coupon code that will give you 10% off on anything that you might care to order at classicalacademicpress.com. And the coupon code is simply CP Show. Thanks again for listening or watching.